Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 241, part one of Friends, part two. Today is Good Friday, April 6th, 2012. There's a little bit of back channel interference in the first part of this message. As you know, these messages are unedited.
Today's message is entitled Friends, part two. Isaiah 2 and 22, cease ye from man, whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? Stop looking at man. Stop regarding man. His whole life, it's saying, is in his nose. So why, it's saying, should he be esteemed, lifted up? The Bible says our Lord God formed us of the dust of the ground. In the beginning, and breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living being. And so I find here that man, especially since the fall, is a very unspiritual creature, basically. Bible here says that we are made of soul and soil. And the soil and the soils of our souls, we could all confess. And it says in the Bible, my soul cleaveth to the dust. And I think we all, of course, we all have to and do resemble Adam, who was earthly. And so our very corrupt nature is always craving for something tangible. Always wanting that which is visible. The object of our confidence, and there's a song, the object of my affection, is to turn in that direction. From white to rosy red. We're always looking for some kind of, through rose-colored glasses, we're always trying to touch something. Something tangible, something audible, something we can feel, something that we know is there. We want something, like I said, that we can touch, hear, or see, or feel. And we cannot be content with things which appeal only to our spirit. Never. And it's all so hard for a man to believe in a spiritual God. And so Jesus, it says, came in the flesh. And did they believe? And yet, any other than a spiritual God would be absurd. What happens to all the gods that we form in our own minds that we can see? So we can't hear his voice, so he is not open to the move of the Holy Spirit upon his own soul. Because humanity is carnal. Sold, it says, under sin. Infected, it says, with idolatry. And I hear someone saying on the radio, you mean even us saved ones? There isn't a whole lot of difference between a saved person and an unsaved person. No, there isn't. And I think the only difference is now is our new nature holds the old man in check. We have a checkmate, or tries to. So I think we need to stop expecting so much from saved sinners. Says here, their own breathing takes precedent. I mean, that comes first. Well, doesn't it? Doesn't our breathing come first? Certainly does. But anyway, Friday we ministered about friends and how necessary they are. Friends are very necessary. God, thank you for the friends that I have. But though that they are pleasing and they are blessed, are you hearing this? They have caused more misery than anything else when they are unfaithful. David said, my lovers and my friends stand aloof, that means they stand back, from my sore. And he likened his affliction and his pain and his lonesomeness to a sore. And then he goes on and he says, and my kinsmen stand afar off, my relatives, my children. And you remember what happened with Absalom and so on. And he found out how brittle the world's friendship is. And now we're not of this world, but we're in it. And so it's necessary to have friends. Are you hearing this, boys? But don't ever entirely trust in it. It's a robber. Only, and I believe this with all of my heart, only suffering, and I'm talking about going through, can cause us to be Christ-like in this friendship. Going through with someone in a hard time. Listen to David before we enter into this message today all the way. David in Psalm 41 and 9. And I think it's so important that we minister this. Yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. And so I looked at this psalm and I thought, oh, how beautiful the psalms are. All of Psalm 41 looks ahead to what Jesus Christ would suffer. Prophetically. And I thought, and you know, all who are in Christ Jesus may expect the same. They first hated me, Jesus said. They're going to hate you. You know what? You out there doing mission work, or you out there dedicated to the cause of Christ in a type of work. Many times you will receive a vile return for long kindnesses to others. And that is a fruit of your labor. And it's also helping you to become Christ-like. Did you ever think of it that way? And so I, like many others, read this psalm with much comfort, because I think we then begin to see it's very common for the best of men to be rewarded for holy charity with cruelty and scorn. And I don't say that in any way in a melancholy sense. I'm just saying that is the way it is. And then sometimes when they have been humbled by falling into sin, or have chosen to follow Jesus by making difficult decisions as to do his ministry, I think a lot of times advantage has been taken of their low estate where they're at. And their good deeds are, for the most part, totally forgotten. And I think a lot of times the very vilest spite has been vented upon them. Now listen to Psalm 41 and 9 again. Yea, he says. I mean, he's crying out. Yea! I think it's then the climax of the sufferer's woe. He's crying out. I mean, he can scarcely believe the villainy. Mine own familiar friend. Now, this is David speaking out. But this is also Jesus crying out. Where were his friends in that final hour? Now I'm talking about God. He's saying, the man of my peace, and he had one that he trusted here. Ahithophel. He trusted him. My trusted friend. We always got along. Have you ever said that? Sometimes things like this happen. And here's my friend. I trusted him all the way down the line. Where is he now? What's wrong here? And so his friend is likened, I believe, here onto the Judas with Jesus. Judas, who knew some of God's secret thoughts, in whom I trusted, it says. And here we have Judas. And here we have David's friend that made a living following Jesus, not as a guest, hath lifted up his heel against me. Not merely turned his back, no. But kicked me on the way out like a horse. And I believe such malice is only planned. How terrible when our trusted friends become our, let's say, relentless foes. They will not relent. They keep on and on and on and on, and nothing would satisfy outside of death. When confidence is betrayed, and someday I'm going to get into the whole of the Psalm of 41. And ingratitude is the only return for kindness. And yet in so deplorable a case, we may cast ourselves upon the faithfulness of God. And you really know, listen, people on the radio and you pastors that are writing in, someday we'll meet, someday we'll share names. You come to realize the faithfulness of God. Now, I've come to realize that in this stormy, stormy weather ministry. God, time after time after time, has come through. And so it just proves the love of God towards me and towards us. Doesn't it? Isn't that a proof to you? Wow. No, even in these deplorable cases, we may cast ourselves, I said, upon the faithfulness of God who has delivered our deliverer, Jesus Christ. He delivered Jesus. And he delivered Jesus to be our deliverer, our covenant head, the Bible says. And now we live under a more richer and a more alive and a more real covenant, because Jesus, it says, came in the flesh and suffered. Will he not also deliver us? And so again, listen. Yea, mine own familiar friends. And so the sufferings of the church, like those of the Redeemer, generally begin at home. Well, home is where you find it, that's true. But wherever your home is and wherever you find it, that's where your trouble is going to start, right there in your home, most times. And I'm talking about the church a lot of times. It's going to start right there in the body of Christ, whatever. Yea, mine own familiar friends. Her open enemies can do no harm to her. Did you know your open enemies? At least you know what they're doing. You can stay away from an enemy. How many are hearing this? No. Your open enemies can do no real harm to you. It's only when the pretended friends have delivered her into the hands, and unnatural as it may seem, those most times who have grown fat from the bounty and from the teachings are sometimes the very first to lift up their heel against and just sit right there in the back. You don't have to come all the way down. Why is it that we have to end up kicking like horses? And they use that in the Bible because of the surroundings where they had horses and so on like that. Why is it there are so many Judas attitudes in some of us? Well, stop right there. Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? Stop asking questions. Follow Jesus in his sufferings and you'll find out. We're all still sinners saved by grace. No more, no less. And listen, it'll do no good to act as though sin has left you. Have you ever seen someone that tries to act like they're totally void of all sin? They're aghast at a swear word. They almost roll on the floor and hit up against a wall and kick with one leg. And yet in their mind, they swear all the time. And don't try to prove it by fixing your hair or not fixing your hair or wearing homely clothes or beautiful clothes or wearing no makeup. Quote scriptures all that you want. Study the Bible night and day. Live in a box. Sin will always be with you as long as we wear this body. Our tendency will always be to weary of God. And there are so many that are weary of God. It's like they've just turned off. They are, oh, I am weary. This trip is too much. I am weary of God. You're only weary of God when you're not with God. And so we're seeing a lot of souls out there, and their praises are so hollow and so empty because they're praising for more things to come their way. God is saying, no more miracles. I'm not going to give you any more signs. The miracle will be, and the final will be, and the miracles will be this. Behold how they love one another and show how much they are friends. Then the world is going to be persuaded. They're going to say, wow, I want to be in this situation. They don't shoot the wounded. No, sin is always going to be with you as long as you wear this body. We're always going to have that tendency, isn't it, to worry of God. I mean, who is the Spirit, the Bible says. And must be worshipped in the Spirit and truth. Now, you can manufacture spiritual worship, and you can sing in tongues, and you can call it high praises and everything. What is the very best single praise you can give the Lord to obey Him? What good is it if a kid just is sitting on the potty? I of my mother, I of my daddy. Well, that's fine when he's a baby, but when he gets to be 40 years old, you don't want him to be sitting on the pot singing that. How many are hearing this? Let's get on with the work at hand and praise me with your works. Would you want a child that just continually praised you all the time and then didn't do anything? But it's true. We seek after something to worship. We seek after something to love, something to rely on, something we can lay our hands on. Sad but true. That's true. And even my puritanical brothers that may be listening. Maybe your idol is your doctrine. The Bible says the flesh wars against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. Well, I really know that's the truth. How many can say that's the truth? Well, it is, because it's Scripture. And I think we are by nature, for the most part, idolaters, and we must face it. To fight it, we must realize this, that under the most favorable circumstances, man flies to his idols. Even when circumstances are favorable and there's no storms and there's no rains of affliction and none of those sores like David speaks of and everything is going all right, we still will fly to our idols. Something we love more than God. Basically, self. Now, a man can have a family and a total family and everything, but in the end, a lot of times, that family is educated and all bought clothes and done everything to elevate that man's self. All comes back to idolatry. Someone else worship over God. Self worship over God. But we fly back to our idols in even the very easy times. Like a dog after a gravy train. Or steak. Or a vulture after rotting meat. It says Israel was delivered by a high hand and an outstretched arm. And by many signs and many tokens. It says they were fed in the wilderness. They didn't have to plow. They didn't have to plant. It says that a cloud sheltered them all the day long. Miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. And yet they wanted a God they could see. Make us gods to go before us, they cried a lot. And here was a God that was going before them and feeding them every day. Giving them shelter. Giving them protection, taking them through the Red Sea, miracle after miracle after miracle, all of the plagues that happened. And they weren't touched, no, not one. Shoes that never rotted off their feet, miracle after miracle. So fierce were their cries that Aaron yielded to their evil desires, it says, and made a dumb golden ox. You dumb ox. Does it come from there? I don't know. Maybe, probably so. Do you ever think of that? The world quotes scriptures all the time. You dumb ox. And I believe century after century, this has continued. Be not deceived, folks. The Antichrist is working and offering idols. Listen to Isaiah 2, 7 and 8. Their land has also been filled with silver and gold, and there is no end to their treasures. No end to them. Their land also has been filled with horses, and there is no end to their chariots. And there's no end to all of the automobiles we have. There's no end to all the things that we have. But it says their land also has been filled with idols. They worship the work of their hands. Just like we worship the work of our hands. Now it's okay to like those things, the house and the car and so on like that. But don't worship them. Aren't there a lot of people that worship their homes? Oh, their home, their little shutters and their little roofing and their little this and their little that and their little that. Now, it's okay to like those things, but don't worship them. Did you see so-and-so's house? What a picture. Right out of gardens or whatever those make. Housekeeping, good housekeeping. Homes and gardens, that's it, isn't it? Is that the end? To worship something like that? To worship, it says, that which their fingers have made. You know what? That's the way it is right now, isn't it? Hasn't changed. Bible says there is nothing new under the sun. Do you believe that? I do. No, I believe the idolatry of wealth is common among God's people even today. Prosperity, claim, ask, cry out for more gold. More. More. Bow down to the coin. Then you hear very little about friendship. Friendship, friendship. Isn't there a song like that? Dee-dee-dee-dee, friendship. When all these things are soon forgotten, we'll have friendship. That ain't the way it is. Might have been that way in the 20s or the 30s or the 40s or whatever, but hey. No, now it's being rich proves our spirituality. The bigger, in other words, our golden calf, the bigger our following. You've got to preach what people love to hear. Something they can touch, something they can hear, something they can feel. Touch, something tangible, something audible, like money, I should say, moony. Moony for the golden ox, the calf. They've got to have something they can touch and feel. How many are hearing this? And so they're idle again in this 19 and, what is it, 87? Almost said 78. I wrote that down one time. I wrote down 19, it was 1985, I wrote down 1958, and I thought, boy, where have you been? How many have done that? Have you? Oh, good. I thought I was going crazy. Praise God. Thank you for your mercy. No, it's something visible, something we can see, the almighty dollar. And then we always want people to see what we do. We want credit. So we have credibility. And so many today are like the people of Isaiah's day. They show, I believe, their unspiritualness and their inability to walk in the light of the Lord by making their own wealth their chief confidence. I, sometime back, was at a, and this was in a church, a New Year's Eve party. And I says, what's wrong with you two young men? You got the two most beautiful wives in here. And you look so down. Well, they said, we want to get rich. Almost together. Well, I just kind of looked and I thought, End of conversation. I didn't want to argue with them. They look pretty violent. Might cash me in. Now, you don't have to listen long to find out what a man's idol is. And a golden calf, I believe, sits atop many of their heads. Like that emblem on that truck, so the Big Mac truck, so they have the same thing on their head. No, it's not a bulldog. It's a bulldog with a calf on top. I believe, give us our daily bread is not the prayer of the modern Christian. Give us our daily demands. I believe that's it. Luxuries and plenty of them. Open up the windows of heaven, let them flow. Ho! Let me know when they start coming so I can put a little shelter up for myself. I think a lot of times if you ask Christians to live in the hand-to-mouth fashion, they would just quit. Would become nasty. Would say, this is not of God. But the Lord The Bible says, put this prayer in our mouths. Teach us, it says, to pray, said the disciples. Not a lot of times do we pray, but do we mean it? No, because a lot of times people want something more substantial to count on than the care of heaven. But let me tell you, it's beautiful when you come down to, there's nothing else, nowhere for you to turn but the care of heaven, and find out that the care of heaven does care and will be there. That's what it's got to come down to. That's what's been lost. Friends. Praise God for this church and the friends that I do have. But let me speak to the rich here, who think nothing of spending thousands in one day. I saw this show, The Lives of the Rich and Famous, on there. And these people are walking around in this. They were building these huge hotels, but they were hotels for the rich. And the rich and famous, and they had cuisines there, and they had a $3 million party for everyone. All of the rich were invited to come, whomsoever will, but I mean, they must come, and they must have a lot of money. Well, I speak to you that have that kind of, listen, you can be just as bad. You can squeeze a quarter. You can have a quarter in your pocket. Be as bad as a millionaire. Squeeze that quarter. It'll send your soul to hell just as quick as $1 million. But those people who forget that God has made us only stewards to use His blessings to care for others. Huh? I wonder right now how many Christians are hoarding. Grasping, hiding, stashing away money and food as if there were no promise in the Scriptures that God will provide. Oh, they quote the Scripture. The Lord will provide, as long as they can get stuff so they can hoard it and put it away for themselves. No, it says we're to lay up treasures in heaven, not down here. It's like Don was talking about all of this produce that we get. Tons of it. This 24-foot-long truck we have out here. Tons of it. And a great big long bus. Tons of it. Twice a week. And people come, are you sure these people deserve this? Well, I said, would you rather give it to the hogs, or would you rather let it rot? 2 more days, 3 more days, a week, it'll be rot. And then you, as a wonderful taxpayer, will have to pay for a garbage truck to come and pick it up. And here we have all of these wonderful little two-legged disposals at our disposal that will dispose of this food. Then I just turn on my heel and I walk away. Let them think about that one for a while. Jesus says, give to whomsoever asks, and don't ask questions. Don't ask questions. Freely, freely I've given to you. Freely, freely give it away. Oh, many say, well, all that I have is the Lord's. I can take no credit for it. But then they live for themselves as if there were no hereafter, no redemption. I wonder sometimes how great really is our believing. If we were asked to prove it by giving. Would you fish around in your pocket in a spontaneous giving situation? Did we collect today for Mission Sunday? We didn't collect last month. We got double we have to collect today. We'll have a collection a little later. Don't let that worry you now. Don't start feeling in your pockets. You out there on the radio land pushing. See, which Which way? I wonder. There's two bills in here. One's a 20 and one's a $1 bill. Oh, golly, I don't know which one it is. The collection plate's getting closer and closer and closer. Oh, no! Oh, no, it's the wrong one. Oh. Everybody's watching. What's that song? Where is the love? Where is the love? Huh? Oh, Lord, we love you. Oh, Lord, we love you. Now, I'm not getting cynical. I'm not getting sarcastic. I'm just telling the truth. I've seen a lot of that, and it just totally sometimes sickens me. Because there's no depth to it whatsoever. And even the people you're standing next to, there's no real friendships. What would you be willing to surrender? Oh my. Some have trouble with 10%. I mean, I'm talking about money. How much of your life would you give? How much of your being popular? Being the preacher about town? Mr. Holy, Mr. Sanctimonious, Mr. Perfect. How much of that would you be willing to give up for the cause of Christ? Would you be willing to give up 10% of your reputation? Would you be willing to be hated in the house of your friends? Now I'm talking about your life. And then if you did give it all, would it be done with salt? Or would you hate everyone that undergave you? Would they be underdog? Would we still love Jesus, I'm talking about, as much if we took away all of our prosperity seminars? Know how they fleece them audiences. Man, they milk them like sheepdogs. Huh? Gather the baskets. Now it's all right. In some causes there's a right spirit, but some causes there's not a right spirit on it. And the buckets, you can hear them rattling out there and everything, you know. And you see them looking like sheepdog up and down the aisles. And then they say, sick them, Shep. And they go down them aisles, fleecing and picking at. Ooh, man, huh? Well, what's done with it? Come on. What is done with it? Is it put to work for the cause of Christ? A lot of times not. Most times not. Them old sheepdog are out there rounding up them sheep. Round them up. Them sheep are sitting here. Well, it's truth. Would you still love Jesus as much if he cut out all of the prosperity seminars? The how to get wealthy, the real estate, the running with Jesus ministries. You don't run with Jesus, you walk with him. See, in that we must preach and raise such question shows us we need to deal with this. Because a lot of times, a lot of us worship wealth. To be a friend of the poor is not the cry. Politics, fun city, and more money is the cry. Fun. Let's go have more fun. You can't have fun without Jesus. Because you cannot satisfy the flesh. Try to satisfy your flesh sometimes. Can't? Well, you eat, and your flesh wants more, and you want to eat again, don't you?
Oh, God, I'm never going to eat again. I don't care if I ever see food again in my life. Oh, why did I do it? I ate the whole thing. Oh, what time is it? 1 o'clock. We ate for 2 hours. We started at 11. Oh. What time is it now? Oh, it's 1:30. How about dessert? And that's all right. God made you that way. But I'm talking about all these other fleshy desires. You can't satisfy the flesh.
That was part one of Friends Part Two. Be sure to listen to the conclusion on Easter Sunday. Have a good weekend. God bless you.